Pray with me. Lord Jesus, we are thankful to be in your house today. And we're thankful, God, that you don't leave us. You don't forsake us. You don't separate from us, even when we separate from you. So, Lord, I pray as we live that we will live the full and abundant life that Jesus Christ has called us to. And, Lord, as we embrace a summer season, as we embrace being out and about, may we realize that you are with us. And may we rejoice and be glad, for this is the day the Lord has made. Amen. God never ceases to be God. I want you to embrace it. God never ceases to be God. And sometimes we forget God's not like us. Now, a lot of us, if somebody offends us, or somebody hurts us, or somebody lets us down, or really, if somebody breaks one of our rules, how many of you all write them off? Anybody here, you don't have to raise your hand, but is anybody here guilty of writing somebody off? I'm just not going to have anything to do with that person anymore. Can you believe they said this to me? Now, it's a little bit different when you're married to them. Now, think about this. When you're married to them, you have joined in covenant, the marriage covenant. Let me go over that one more time. A marriage covenant. And the covenant is stronger than your offense. Now, how many of y'all glad we got a God of covenant? Now, some of the preaching you and I have heard throughout our lives is we kind of got this almighty sovereign God, and then it kind of depends on us to maintain the relationship. If you're going to live that way, you're going to be, you're just going to be bonkers all the time. There's a sovereign God, and God wants to be in relationship with you. And even when we mess up, God does not write us off. He rewrites us. How many of you glad to know that we have a Jesus that has rewritten our script? And that his script is going to come through no matter what. I'm glad y'all are excited about that. Maybe the rest of the church will join you. Watch this. You're not written. Check this out. You're not written to the same destination that you were heading in your sin. If you continue to stay in your sin, you refuse the forgiveness of Jesus Christ, then your writing instructions, the last sentence of your existence is, they receive hell. The last script that you have without Jesus is an eternity in hell. But praise be to God. Glory be to God. Hallelujah be to God. Because of the grace of Jesus Christ, your last sentence now under the blood of Jesus is welcome in, my good and faithful servant. We got a God that continues to rewrite the script. Now put this in motion for a moment. How many of y'all have some things that you probably need to give to God and say, rewrite this. Rewrite this direction. Rewrite this moment. Rewrite this approach. I don't know about you, but in me, I have to have my beliefs rewritten. Now follow me. Some of us just believe some things that aren't true. See, some of us believe that God's going to change his mind because we're upset. I hate to disappoint you all, but God doesn't sit in heaven and go, "Oh, Hillview's upset. I'm going to change my whole course of direction because some of the human beings are upset." Here's just what's so cool about God. He's never read one poll. God's much different than a politician. The politicians up in Washington are constant. They pay people big money. If you're good at math and statistics and lying, you can work for the statistics and you can poll all of these things. We hear it every day. 57% of the people believe. You know what my question is to that? So what? Now you got to decide as a follower of Jesus Christ, what's God said? And Moses goes back and has to take up what God said. Go with me to Exodus chapter 34. Where did I put my Bible? Oh, Nathan, would you quit stealing my Bible when I'm trying to preach? I'm telling you, that's a good place for it, though.
I know it.
I like it.
Every Sunday.
I know you're a great sword bearer. The Lord said. Chapter 34, verse 1. The Lord said. I want to stop there, but just for a moment. The Lord said. What has the Lord said that you're aware of? I'll tell you 10 things you know God said. That's His 10 commandments. And far too long in the modern church of this era, we have ignored what God said in His commandments. It'd be amazing, some of you that love to study, just go back and look at everything that's awry and see how far away it is from what God originally said. God said, worship me and only me. God said, worship me and only me. Now, I'm going to tell you, in our nation, we worship many gods. That's the truth. You ask me, is our nation a Christian nation? Our nation is a nation that worships many gods. The leading God of America is self. The leading God of America is self. If you don't believe me, go to one of the department stores of your choice and check out the beauty aisle. It'll stretch for miles. Because we're telling it, I'm not preaching against using it. I'm just showing you how self-absorbed we are. You know, some of these preachers say, ladies, don't wear makeup. I say, wear everything you can. I think it's a good thing, okay? But watch, we got to be careful because we're obsessed with what we say. And when we get obsessed with what we say, guess what we miss out on? What God says. How many of y'all have been, now I'm guilty of this, so as I state this, I'm going to say, I am guilty on the get-go. How many of y'all talk so much you never hear? David, I was glad to see your hand up. That's good honesty. Mine's up too, okay? Mine's up too. How many of you just talk because you just want to hear what you say? Well, see, we miss life because we need to hear what God said. And God's got Moses' attention. God is doing what Moses even asked him to do. He said, God, I need your presence. I need to know you're with me. I need to know it's you that's leading these people. And it's you through me that's going to lead these people. God, I need your presence. Well, God gives him his presence and then he gives him the instruction. Now, here's what I want you to watch. Watch. The Lord said to Moses, chisel out 2 stone tablets like the first ones. And I will write on them the words that were on the first tablets, which you broke. Now, let me ask you a question. Did God ask Moses to break the tablets because the people were sinning? What did Moses do? He threw a fit. Any of y'all ever thrown a fit besides the guy talking to you? Yeah, I mean, I can see Moses doing this. Now, Moses is not Charles and Heston, okay? We had some of our Jewish friends with us. They're not over 6 foot, okay? I mean, they're not real tall folk. But Moses got enraged because guess what had happened? The very people he was leading broke everything that God had spoken to him before he could get them down the mountain. And what did he do? He throws them down and he breaks the tablet. Now, here's the problem with that. They weren't his to break. Now, follow me. How many of you on our destiny unto heaven want to be God instead of just be Moses? Those are God's tablets. Those are God's commands. Those are God's authority. They're not ours. They're not ours to break. They're ours to keep. God wants us to keep the commandments. I thought it was interesting that the first thing that happened to the commandments, they were broke. They were broken under the golden calf, and then they were broken physically by the tablets. And now, guess what? God puts Moses to work. I want to note this. Sometimes God does it all, and sometimes God puts a chisel in your hand. I used to hear people tell me all these testimonies. Says, well, I tell you what, I didn't have any work, and I was laying there in my living room, and I saw one of these preachers said, all you got to pray is pray for money. And I sat in my living room and I said, dear God, I need some money. And I went to the mailbox and I opened up the mailbox and there was a $5,000 check. And I used to think, God doesn't love me. So I got in my living room. I said, God, Elizabeth and I are broke. We're broke. Oh, Lord, I need a check in the mailbox. You know what he sent me? A job. He said, put the chisel in you. Sometime we got to put the chisel in our hand. You see, we want God to move. He said, no, you chisel out two tablets just like you did the first. Because here's what he was trying to tell them. You may can chisel some tablets, but you can't write the script. Now, I think our job is to chisel the tablets. What do we do in ministry? We chisel the tablets. God writes the script. We've been doing it that week as Friendship in Hillview and in some of these boxes. That's what I call the church, guys, from Friendship. I call them, we all worship in boxes. Some of us have bigger boxes, smaller boxes, medium-sized boxes. But the problem is, we don't understand. The church doesn't live inside a box. It lives outside the building. And this week, you all had an outside-the-building experience. God tends to like to be on the streets, and He likes to see His people come together. So we chiseled out some tablets, and then yesterday, God wrote the script of grace in 13 people's lives. Amen. How many of y'all realize you can't save anybody? Let me give you something, the rhythm you ought to have. I can't save anybody, but I'm going to tell everybody. I can't save anybody, but I'm going to tell what? I'm going to tell everybody about what Jesus is doing. He's my Lord. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. Are you all chiseled enough by the grace of God that you're going to stand in Jesus Christ? I'm going to stand in Jesus Christ. Now, some of y'all, see, look, y'all are quiet now. When I told you this 2 years ago, you're, oh, yeah, preacher, like we're going to have to take a stand. If you say, listen, and get rid of this term Christian. That's a political term if I've ever heard one. Let's bring it down. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. I'm in the blood of Jesus Christ. I believe in the cross of Jesus Christ. I'm convinced of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And you'll be singing, though none go with me, I still will follow. Now, it doesn't matter if this is a Christian nation, a Muslim nation, a purple nation, a Barney nation, a Mr. Rogers nation. What matters is, are you going to follow Jesus Christ? You can't back off. And God's fixing to establish what He's already established. And here's why. You won't take away what God set in motion. We got to get to that. So we don't understand that. We think, well, Lord, if we mess up, no, God will take your messed up situation and fulfill His will. Amen? God knows we're not perfect. How many of y'all are glad to know that? Though some of y'all need to hear that. You're not either. You're not perfect. None of us get it all right, but God. But who? And He loves us all. I want you to see this. Look at this. He tells Moses, he says, you chisel them out. I'm going to write it down. Moses says, all right. Here we go. We're still on our way to the promised land. And he said, now, present. Be ready in the morning. Now, when you chisel out the tablets, you better get on it. Because he expected to have the tablets when, Pastor Mark? Moses, Aaron must have been like you. God said, get the tablets. And he started chiseling immediately. I love Pastor Mark for that, don't you? If we got a project, guess what? Soon as Pastor Mark knows it's of God, he's chiseling tablets. The BAM team's chiseling tablets. BAM team, isn't that what you all do? You chisel the tablets. As I was preparing for this sermon, I drove in on Thursday morning. And I looked at that building, and guess what that is? One huge chiseled tablet. That's all it is. And I heard the sounds of hammers and chisels and, you know, air guns and nail guns and glue guns and whatever else they do on buildings. I don't know. But I know this. All we're doing is making a tablet possible. Oh, my God. For our God to write His script in thousands of lives. Do you realize what we get to be a part of? I thought to myself, I said, Lord, you're going to write your grace in people's lives that I will never know. I even got to thinking, what if the President of the United States comes from that building one day? Can you imagine what she's going to look like? And the things that she will know? Hey, when the nation gets in trouble, go read your Bible. When the men don't stand up, God will put a headstrong woman in charge. And they don't chisel on tablets. They get tent pegs out and put them in your head. Go read the Bible. They get serious. God said, Moses, be ready in the morning. I wish he just said, be ready in the afternoon or even mid-morning. But God tends to like to get up early. For all you early people, you do have some scriptural evidence that God gets going in the morning. I think he did that in this time because there was no air conditioning. I think if God was writing this script in America, he'd say, around 9, we need to get started. He said, present yourself to me there on top of the mountain. No one is to come with you or be seen anywhere on the mountain. Not even the flocks and the herds may graze in front of the mountain. Now, Moses is serious about the instruction. He said, well, why did God just want to speak to Moses? Now, let me help you all with this. God calls some out to deal with very personally so others can be blessed. That's why you follow leadership. I tell our pastors all the time, you've been called to deal with God during the week so the rest of the folks will be blessed when you stand up. And the greatest thing you can do as a pastor is know what God's got to say. The greatest thing isn't running around chasing fingernails. And I mean, Lord have mercy. I mean, one time I was pastoring, a lady called me and she had a hangnail and wanted me to come pray over it. I wanted to bring my head shears over there and take it off. That's not ministry. That's not what God's called some to do. Some need to dwell on the mountain. And they need to know exactly what God said. He said, don't even let the sheep get in front of the mountain. I'm going to deliver to you our destination. Now, I want you to connect something here. The law and the promise ride together. He said, I'm taking you to a promised land, to a land of freedom. Now, Pastor Eric was very keen on this insight. Eric, they're already free, aren't they? Because he got them out of where? Come on, we got to stay with the journey. Where are they? They're out of Egypt living in freedom. And now you say, well, what's the purpose of the law? To give them the instruction of how to live out the promise. Same things happen to every one of us. You have been freed of your sin and grace. You say, what do I need to know the Bible for? So you know how to live out how you've been made. And so here's what I want you to know. I don't buy this. I had people tell me all the time, well, Pastor Ayers, I don't understand the Bible. Baloney. I am evidence. If I can understand the Bible, any human being can understand the Bible. God made it for everybody. Now, here's what I think. We know exactly what it says. We don't like what it says. I hear this in marriage counseling all the time. People come in and say, well, we don't communicate. We don't communicate. Pastor Dave, we don't communicate. Now, here's the definition of don't communicate. When you don't do what I want you to do, we're not communicating. No, this is communication sometimes. No. That's communication. I'm not going to do that. That is a communicated signal. Just because I desire to not do what you want me to do does not mean we're not communicating. In fact, it means we've communicated. And the answer is what?
No.
No. How many of y'all found your children always love you when you say yes? But the moment you've got to say what?
No.
Then it's not of God. Hey, I've gotten that from you all. It's always of God if it's what you want to do. Have y'all noticed that? That's God's will. I've been praying, Pastor. God's spoken to me. But if it's not what you want to do, well, you're not reading the Word correctly. Word's pretty clear. And God's Word cannot be removed. I want you to know that. He will rewrite it even when we break it. And he goes on. He says, Moses, don't even let the sheep, the herd, the animals graze in front of the mountains. How serious is this word? Man, I was pleased today in worship. I think God was pleased today in worship because I saw some of you singing. How many of you allowed God to get your attention today? See, and the reason I said it like this, JP, it's a lot easier when you just go ahead and give God your attention. Because here's what's going to happen. If you don't give God your attention, He'll get it. I'm telling you, you can go two ways to heaven. Just do what he says or resist and kick and fuss. But he's going to get you in the bathtub eventually. How many of y'all had that experience with a child, two-year-old? You said, how many of y'all ever had a two-year-old? Blake, he was a mud dauber. Just go out there and root in the dirt. And he'd come in, he'd have dirt head from toe. How many of y'all remember this experience? And you told him, you need a what? And what'd they say?
No!
No! And they stink. I mean, they stink. Little kids stink. So do big kids who won't let Jesus bathe them. You stink. And you don't say, when they run together, they don't know they're stinking. How many of y'all knows if you run with other people that stink, you don't know you stink? Like a dog never knows a dog smells bad. You know why? Because it's always sniffing other dogs. Till it sniffs one of them fluffy little poodle things that has gone to some perfume salon. And it goes, ooh, that smells weird. Where's your dog? You know? But you finally get that two-year-old in the bathtub after pleading and prodding and throwing, you know, animals into the tub. Not real animals, you know, floaty things into the tub. They finally get in the tub. Once they get in the tub, then what's your next battle? It's time to get out. Yeah! They've been there looking like a prune. Isn't that the way we are with God? God said, we got to move on to the next. No, we got to go where God wants us to go. He's rewriting the script. And it's amazing. God will rewrite the script in your life always. So Moses chiseled out two stone tablets. He did what God said. Like the first ones, went up to Mount Sinai early in the morning as the Lord had commanded him. And he carried the two stone tablets in his hands. Then the Lord came down in a cloud and stood there with him and proclaimed the name of the Lord. Now, God will proclaim his name. And here's what I want you to know. God doesn't write on tablets anymore. He writes in hearts. So I want you to get this. You are God's proclamation. We are God's proclamation. I want you to leave here today knowing you are God's proclamation that his grace is forever. What do you think about that, Scott Hunt? Elder Scott? What? You're God's proclamation. Jesus is real. The cross is real. Tony Scott, what do you think about that? You are God's proclamation. You up there on a bobcat going like that, and guess who's proclaiming out of you? God! Jim Martins, you are God's proclamation. Mark Hale, you are what? God's proclamation. Tina, you are God's proclamation to Mark. See, if we could ever buy into this, that God has rewritten our lives and now we're to go live out the new script. It's a script of grace and mercy, of life lived to the fullest. Life that only God can write. Amen. What's God given Moses? A life that only God can write. I don't write so well. You see, I write you off, and God says, no, you write them in. Billy Lowe, would anybody have written out there at Warren East High School? When you was the star quarterback, the stud of the Raiders, the man whoever Raiderette wanted to go out with, would they have ever written you in as a man who teaches the Bible unbelievably? But God did. Merle, when you were at Marrowbone Elementary School and they wore 400 paddles out on your rear end, did they ever think God would write you in to run a school system? When I was at Warren Central High School, y'all may find this hard to believe. I know it's hard for all of y'all to believe. But nobody wrote in my annual, most likely to pastor. Nobody. And even to this day, even when I'm in other parts of the world and people look at me and they go, what do you do? I go, I'm a preacher. And they go, no, really, what do you do? You see, God writes us into places, check this out, that we cannot get there on our own. God writes us the only where he can take us. You see, only God can allow me to be obedient to the Ten Commandments. Now I want you to get this character of God. Look at this. This is very important. We're going to wrap her up. And he passed in front of Moses proclaiming. What was he doing? He was what? What's our task? You know what you all did today? Man, I loved worship today. I don't know about y'all, but I loved. Anybody else love worship today? Anybody have a good time in worship today? Anybody rejoice today in worship? I mean, because people were like, I even saw some of you, y'all even got a little groove. You went, let it rain. What were we doing? We were proclaiming in song. We proclaim in sermon. But you know what? We proclaim when we come in the parking lot. I knew this was going to be a good day because of the parking lot. I saw people out in the parking lot. Hey, this is the day the Lord has what? Made. And every day the Lord has made is a step closer into heaven. Start living like that. It's a great way to live because guess what? He said, man, I'm glad I got that day over. We're one day closer to heaven. And there's a lot of talk, man. You know, people get nervous when things change. And they go, Pastor Steve, you think it's about the end of time? I said, I'm going to tell you what, I'm 45 years closer to the end of time than I was from the start. I don't worry about the end of time. I worry about, are we letting God rewrite? Here's what I trust God with. I think God's got the reservations secure. I believe He does. Amen? Some of y'all going to go on vacation this year. How many of you all are okay with going on vacation when you have a reservation? Man, when I got a reservation and I'm traveling, especially when our kids were young, I love to stop at things that my family doesn't want to stop at. They love traveling with me. I always find an AM station with an AM radio preacher on, and I let the whole family listen to it. And then I listen to Swap Shop while we're traveling. That's always good, especially if you're down. So y'all ever heard Swap Shop? You know, they call, hey, Ray, catch your Ethel from down there. I got a couple of mason jars for sale and 50 cents a piece. Thank you. Thank you for calling Swap Shop. Okay, I mean, they do stuff like that. I do stuff like that. Clacy loves it. That's her favorite thing about the family. But I also like to stop at places, like if we're going through Knoxville, I like to stop at those little shops nobody stops at with the neon signs that says, as seen on TV. You know what? And I'll do a lot of crazy things because guess what I know? I got reservations. They holding the room. You see, you can live a lot. You can stop by a gator farm if you know they're holding the room. See, we've forgotten how to travel. We're so busy, we don't ever stop at a gator farm anymore. And there's that poor gator laying in a mud puddle just so you can spend $5 to look at him. And used to, people from Kentucky, they'd stop at a gator farm because they ain't never seen a gator. I've always wondered why Greenwood High School was called Gators. I've lived in Warren County all my life and never feared walking in a slough finding a gator. Make sense? In fact, I was skiing down in North Carolina, water skiing down in North Carolina about this time of year, and I got scared to death because I don't think about gators when I ski. Like when I'm at the Barron River, we never jump in the water and go, watch that gator over there. Well, I was in North Carolina, what they call a slough. It's like a bay thing. We get in this little boat. I get up on my ski. I ski over by the boat. Stop. And the guy that's skiing, he's going, hey, get in here real quick. Quick, get in the boat. I'm like, what's the matter? He goes, gator just jumped in. Son, it was Jesus, me, and Peter that walked on the water. I'm telling you. It's crazy. I said, a gator? So you never know what's going on. Watch, we can live life like that. Hey, how many of y'all know what's going to happen today? I don't know what's going to happen today. But I know who's in charge of the day. God is. Amen? Come on, check this out. I don't know why I'm talking about the gators, but... Swap shop. Look at here. Who is God? He's who He's always been. And He proclaims Himself. And He passed in front of Moses proclaiming, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands, and forgiving wickedness and the rebellion and sin. That's the God we have. Yet He does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children and their children's children for the sins of the fathers to the third and fourth generation. Now, I want you to understand something here. This does not mean if you came from a wicked family, you are deemed to be wicked. However, it does mean this. When fathers advocate their responsibility, it takes about four generations to straighten that mess up. That's how important you fathers are. Come back on Father's Day and I'll follow up on this. But it's very important that you understand what's this. And here's what happens. There's some people believe there's a generational curse. I personally have a problem with that theology because didn't the Bible say that all curses were crucified on the cross? So if all curses were crucified on the cross, how can I have a generational curse? You see, sometimes when you're getting all this hokey pokey stuff, you need to go back to the cross and it'll straighten all the hokey pokey stuff out. Now, here's the problem. If I've lived with a wild man all my life, I have a higher percentage of likelihood of becoming a what? Why? That's all I've seen. If I grow up being cussed and when I'm 6 years old, my dad hands me a Playboy, what are my images of women? Not good. Because the father has abdicated the responsibility of God's instruction to the children. But here's what I want you to know. The good news is God will clean it up. I do want you to know today, though. Watch this. Sin does not go unpunished. And you say, well, I got some private sins that don't affect anybody. Here's something I want you to know. Sin affects everybody. Even if you sin, you think, how many of y'all get this con? Well, I'm just sinning to myself. There's no way for you to sin to yourself because you meet other people. And your sin will get on somebody else. True? Why are y'all looking at me like that? If you can't believe that now, you are totally have closed your eyes to what's gone on in the world the last 2 years. There's only one person that can forgive sin. Jesus. He's the one that rewrites the script. He says, even though we had sinned, he said, I'm going to forgive you. It's not sins. It's what? Sins. And God's going to pull that sin out of our lives. So now that we can get rid of our sins. How many of y'all glad to know that God unplugs the operation? Now live that way. He tells Moses, be careful. This is serious business. Keep them in the command. I'm a compassionate God, a loving God, an all-merciful God, slow to anger, faithful. I heal the rebellion and wickedness of the people I've created. But be careful. Don't allow my nature to be a license to participate in deadly sin. Allow it to be a strength that cleans you up and lets you live. Does that make sense? I really want you to hear that. All curses have been crucified. That includes drug addiction and alcoholism. Guess what that is? A curse. Sexual immorality. Guess what that is? It's a curse. All this stuff we get our lives into, it's a what? Curse. Didn't it say somewhere in the Bible that God breaks those chains that bind us? Now I want you to know this. Just because people say it's not a sin doesn't make it not a sin. If you legalize marijuana, you just have legal sinners. Yeah, well, we've legalized alcohol. Yeah, and drunkenness is still a what? Sin. What if we legalize drunkenness? Y'all okay with that? Mm-hmm. What about polygamy? I don't know who'd want more than one wife, but there might be people that do that kind of stuff. Really, we ought to jail a man that would want more than one wife because there's a man that's not thinking. Solomon had 613 women to keep up with. No wonder he said, woe is me. Vanity of vanities. Ecclesiastes, you can feel his depression. Can you imagine 613 women going off on you at the same time? Rich, I cower at one. I couldn't imagine 600. I'd have been like Elijah, buried in a cave, saying, God, deliver me. Look, be careful. Listen to God. Take sin serious. What does He want out of us? He wants us. What's our response to a loving, compassionate, slow to anger, merciful God who wants to heal the rebellious nature of humanity? Moses bowed to the ground at once and worshiped. O Lord, if I have found favor in your eyes, he said, then let the Lord go with us. Although this is a stiff-necked people, forgive our wickedness and our sin and take us as your inheritance. On a cold day of history, the words that were spoken to Moses came fulfilled at the side of the road. And right above stood a hill called Golgotha, the place of the skull and the crucifixion. When God is so slow to anger and so faithful and so committed to healing the rebellious wickedness of humanity, that he sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to rewrite the covenant to make sure we all get to the promised land. He stretched out his arms and he died and he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And the Father said, yeah, that's why you're here. And he forgave us. And why did he forgive us? Because we break commandments. We've all sinned. Not some of us. All of us. I know some of you have a hard time because you truly do believe that at the very core of human nature is goodness. That's where you have erred deeply. That's where you've become so smart you can't think. I was there at one time in my own journey. I thought the center of the universe was the human experience. And God kind of bounced in and intervened. The more I studied, the more he was patient with me, God really exposed and let me know he was the center of the universe. And the creator of all that ever existed or all that would ever exist. And he said, now operate out of me. And things begin to change. We've all sinned. So does that mean I'm a bad person or a good person? God's not really into those kind of shallow evaluations. He said, in sin, you're a dead person. And God always wants to bring life. How many of you today need to say, Lord Jesus, come into my life. I'm a sinner. I too, like Moses, broke the commands. And now, Lord Jesus, all I stand with you are two chiseled tablets, my life. I've heard today that you're slow to anger and you're faithful and you're compassionate and you will forgive my wickedness and my rebellion. But Lord, I'll also be cautious because I know this sin that I touch with. The third and the fourth generation of my own children could be affected. So God, because you're going with us, I'm going to go with you. Isn't that our script today, church? And even if Keith, as the old hymn said, none go with me, I still will follow. We might need to sing that one again sometime. I mean, I'm not calling you out. I'm just saying that might be, we might need to be reminded of that. Because there's going to be some that don't go with us. But here's what I want to let you know. God always makes his promise good. And you can trust it. So today I want to invite you to be forgiven. I can't forgive you. If I forgive you, you're going to hell. You say, well, Pastor Steve, where I really struggle. How many of y'all have ever heard this? How many of y'all even said it? I can't forgive myself. You're right. You can't. Only God can forgive you. Okay, so watch. If I do this. Self, I feel forgiven. I may feel better, but what's my destination? Come on, somebody tell me. Hell, Jim, I'm glad to hear that Alabama team. I like that. Yes, it's the truth. David, even if I'm a good person, I'm nice, I'm happy, I shake hands, I smile a lot, life is good, I use chapstick, whatever, you know, things are great. If I don't let God heal my sin, where's my destination? Hell. Thank y'all for being a church that understands. Watch this. I'm going to tell you right now, if I didn't think you were going to hell, I'd go to Lake today. I'd just stay. Just go through life. Drink a couple beers, make sure everything's all right. Huh? That's real? But wait a minute. There's a God that loves you so much that He sent His Son to die for you so you could live. So I hope you live today. Amen. So if you need to receive Christ today, the altar's open. The pastors are praying. They'd love to share Jesus with you. We're going to have an altar. And then right after the altar, I want you to go back to your seat because we're going to cover a couple things today. I want the Hispanic ministry and the Hispanic church, I want you all to come to the altar. And I want to pray over everybody that's been involved in this weekend. We're so excited. Pastor Douglas, I was there yesterday and I had tears in my eyes when I looked at the wall of your church, brother. And I saw January baptisms and February baptisms and March baptisms and April baptisms. You just probably hadn't got the May baptisms up yet. Amen? And now you're going to have some June what? Guess what? You get it. Being a pastor is not about walking around telling everybody you're a pastor. It's about seeing people who were dead in sin, who can only be saved by Jesus Christ, come to life and then living that life out in a full and abundant way. Amen. So let's stand together. I'm going to ask that church to come. And Friendship, you all come up here. I want to pray over you. If you need to receive Christ, if you need to come and just repent, if you need to say, God, I got some sin in my life that I don't want to download to the third, fourth generation, Lord, clean me up. He'll do it. Come on, church. Let's go ahead and hit this altar. Let's not drag it out. Let's pray. Let's let God just have a moment with us at the altar. Thank you. Amen, church. Amen. Amen.